Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Good to see everyone here today. Thank you for coming and being a part of our services this morning. I'd like to first off like to just welcome our visitors. Thank you for coming. And if you just lift your hands, if your very first time visiting, we'd have a gentleman get you a card right there beside you, Brother Terry. Anybody else visiting for the first time? We've got a couple right here. And just mess with you. But thank y'all for coming. And we do have a couple right over here. And thank y'all so much for being our guest today. We want to honor you and thank you so much. And members, y'all get by and let them know that you do appreciate them coming and being here with us today. And if you have a cell phone, please ask you to make sure it's turned off or it is on vibrate if you have an emergency so it doesn't interrupt the services. We'd appreciate that. And then if you have any children under the age of 3 that aren't quite able to sit all the way through the service, we do provide a nursery straight to the back, second door on the left-hand side. And today is our 30th anniversary. And amen. And so I'm so glad that you came to be with us on our 30th anniversary. And we have Brother Wido preaching this morning. And I picked him because I want to make sure that you guys know that the old gray heads, not gray heads, but the older men in the faith, they're still preaching the Word of God like it ought to be preached. And so I appreciate Brother Wido and his wife and his family, and they're coming to sing. And I'm really appreciate them coming. I know he has his own church in El Dorado, Arkansas, and they're doing a wonderful work up there and just winning folks. And how long you been there, brother? 23. Yeah, we determined that the other night. We thought 15, and somebody said 23, so we settled on 23, and it was right. And but he's been winning people there and got a bus ministry, prison ministry, radio ministry, just working for the Lord up there in El Dorado. And I really thank him for him coming out of his pulpit and preaching here this morning for us. And I thought it was fitting because his mother-in-law is our piano player, and so their family's had a big effect on Bible Baptist Church. If you know, it wasn't for their family, the Lord using their family, church wouldn't be here. And this property was owned by Jerry and Gwen Miles. They've been here for 46 years, and they sold this place to the church. And so I appreciate the Widows and the Mileses and the Williams. And they've had a great effect personally on my family. And I can't tell you over the 30 years how many hundreds and hundreds, maybe thousands of people that have been saved and lives affected through this church because of what Brother Williams. Listen, I know it's God. I'm not trying to take any glory from God at all, but let me just say this. God uses a man, and men are tools. And Brother Williams let God use him as a tool, and the Mileses let God use them as a tool, like God uses Brother Wido as a tool in El Dorado, and he gets to use us as tools. And you know what? I sure am glad that we can be tools in the hands of the Master. Amen. And so we're going to have the dinner on the grounds tonight at 5:30. And so members, I'd ask you to bring enough for your family and then just a little bit more. So those of that are guests will be coming tonight. We'll have enough for us. So y'all please come and be a part of the fellowship tonight. We love to eat around here. We got some great cooks, and we've got one all the way from Russia. And she cooks some great food, man. Amen. And we've got some from Mexico that'll making some tamales, man. It's some good stuff. Y'all want to come tonight. You think the preaching's good. It's good, but the eating's good too. Amen. And you might have noticed, if you've been to our church before, you might have noticed a new addition to our church property. There's a tree planted right here in the front. And it wasn't because we're trying to hide anything. It's a founder's tree. And instead of having a plaque that we present to Brother Williams, and plaques are nice and that's great, we wanted to do something that was going to last for a long time, that whenever you walked up to church, it would bring up your memory. Oh, okay, that's a tree to memorialize, what they did here, and they started this place here. And it's in memory of Jack and Alice Miles. He was a faithful man of God. She was a faithful woman of God, preached the Word of God, and one of the first pastors that was here. And so I want to dedicate that to them in memory of them. But it's not just in memory of them. It is also in honor of Brother Dub Williams and Gwen and Jerry Miles, and for the work and the service that they've given to their God in this place. And the Bible says to give honor to whom honor is due. And let me just say this, they're due honor. And I really do appreciate them. And I know Brother Jack and Miss Alice Miles are in heaven now, but there's so great a cloud of witnesses that we're compassed about in Hebrews. And they're watching, and you know what? And they get to see the fruits of their labor, I believe. And I want to honor their memory as well. And then after church this afternoon, we're going to have a group photo. I like to do that outside. and probably in front of the church here, just right here by the door, just have everybody come out and like to take a picture and just kind of commemorate the day and everybody that had come to be with us. And so if you would stick around just a little bit after church, not rush off, we just don't worry about it. If we wait long enough, all the Presbyterians will be out of the restaurants, and we'll get in right behind them. Amen. But like a group photo after services, and we'll remind you of that here in a little bit. And then after services, after that group photo, we'll have family photos. And Mrs. Bingham will take some family photos of you by the tree or by the front of the church here to also commemorate the 30th anniversary for Bible Baptist. And so if you'd like to do that, we'd love to accommodate you and be a blessing to you. And then we have the Sunshine Ladies. That's our ladies that visit on Friday mornings at 10 a.m. this coming Friday. So ladies, if you'd like to be a part of that, you can see my wife and she can give you some details on that. It'll be this coming Friday, 10 a.m. And then we're going to have a campers, going to be a full evening this evening. We're gonna be eating. Then we got services, and we have campers presentation, and then we got the y'all have a name for y'all's singing group, the El Dorados, the Bible Bastonians. I don't know, but we have some singing tonight and this morning as well, and then some good preaching again. So we'd like to invite you to come back tonight. And then our choir is going to sing "Wonderful Grace of Jesus," because let me tell you, His grace is wonderful. Let me tell you, through 30 years, I've been here half of those 30 years. Let me tell you, just in those 30 years, I've seen so much of God's grace in this place. It's absolutely amazing. And I'm so glad that I get to be a part of it. It's wonderful being a part of what God is doing here. Brother, come on ahead. Say amen. We're in a Baptist church. You can even say hallelujah every now and then if you like. We won't throw you out. So if you take your hymn books, turn with me to hymn number 311, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's good. I'm glad y'all are awake today. Hallelujah. Brother Weedle don't like people sleeping. Amen. And if the phone goes off, I don't know what he does at his church, but I don't want to test him today, okay? Amen. Hymn 311, let's all stand, redeemed. How I love to proclaim it. Lift your voice with me now. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through His infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Sing out now, redeemed, redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed. His child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of His goodness with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, His child and forever I am. As the choir comes down, take a moment to greet each other. That'd be great. All right, as you find your place, let's join together on the last verse. I know I shall see in His beauty. Lift your voice with me today. Now, here we go. I know I shall see in His beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me songs in the night. Sing now. Redeem, redeem, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, His child and forever I am. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless the offering. He's already blessed the music and the singing, so very good. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless everything else tonight, this morning. Brother McDaniels, would you ask the Lord to bless?
Yes, sir. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we want to thank You today. Beautiful day. Lord, a lot of people here. Lord, the word's here. I pray You bless this offering. Father, please bless the morning service. If there's someone here that's not saved, I pray that You work on their heart.
Amen.
Or they make a decision for You. And everything, we give You thanks. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, we'll have one more song and then the Weedo Trio. Y'all didn't have a name, so I'm coming up with it for you. The Weedo Trio is going to come sing. It is a trio, right? You got three? All right. Amen. Hey, you can sing, but you can't play basketball. That's all I got to say. Hymn number 506, Blessed Assurance, if you would. Stand with me one more time. Hymn number 506, Blessed Assurance. Amen. Jesus is mine. Let's sing together now. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Sing with me now. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. On verse 2 now. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above. Echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. On the last, sing out good and strong now. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above. Filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. Good singing. Y'all may be seated. And Brother Weedo has been a friend of this church long before I even got here, and he has been a good friend to me, a good counselor, and just I really appreciate the things that he's just advised me on and talked to me about, and just he's made himself available to me, and I do appreciate that. One of my favorite preachers, I don't know if you know this, people call you the weeping prophet. I know it's a surprise to you, but he's tender-hearted before the Lord, and he just loves preaching. I'm glad his family's here to sing. And thank y'all very much. Oh, we have to sing five today. I'm just kidding, just two. Thank you for coming, brother. As soon as they're done, you come on ahead.
In defeat, He said, do you remember where I brought you from? Just take a look behind you at how far you've come. And every time you ask me, didn't I deliver you? So why would you be thinking that I wouldn't see you through? Didn't I walk on the water and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed and I gave you peace. Did not run to your rescue, did not hear you when you called. I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Did not leave all of heaven just to die for your sin. I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Now she's talking to her father in a house that was once a home. She says, my bills are coming due, Lord, and 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so soft and low, says, I moved like that before. I'll do this little thing, and I'll give you so much more. Didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? I walked right beside you just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
I searched until I found you, and I do it all again.
Lately I've been looking back along these windy roads to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. And though it may sound simple, it's more than I can explain. There's no other words to tell you than to say God's been good.
In my life, I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good.
Times replay and I can see I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I faced my darkest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt as His grace fell down upon me undeserved. God's been good.
In my life, I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good.
My God, He's been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end.
I can spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way I can say it is this:
God's been good.
In my life, I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, by my side He's always stood. Through it all, God's been good.
Through it all, God's been good.
God's been good, hasn't he?
Yes,
sure has. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 7. And we are honored to be here today. And that was my wife playing the piano and my youngest daughter, Jenna. And Jenna's the baby. And she's carrying our 11th grandbaby. Amen. Number 11. Got one in the hangar. Amen. That's a blessing. And 10 on the ground and one in the cooker or however you want to say it. Amen. It's a blessing. But anyway, and then that was my oldest grandson, Dylan. Amen. And Dylan's a blessing. And, going back years ago, just a little bit of history. My dad pastored over in Arlington for 25 years, Southside Baptist Church there in South Arlington. And he started the church there. And anyway, we had a Christian school, and that's how I met Deanna, my wife. Her grandpa, Brother Jack Miles, and her dad brought her over to the Christian school. And anyway, they had several kids from the church back then, her brother David and Tammy and cousins. All of them went to our Christian school there. And so we met in the Christian school way back, okay? And then we started liking each other. And in the process of time, and so we fell in love and got married and all that, okay? So we've been married, Deanna and I have been married 35 years, but Papa Miles, that we're honoring today, Jack Miles, he married Deanna and I 35 years ago, and we spent our honeymoon in Jacksonville, Arkansas. He owned a little cabin there in Jacksonville out in the country, and so after he married us, we took off and went to Jacksonville. I think we even borrowed his car. We even borrowed their car, amen, went in Brother Miles' car, amen, so we were in Tall Cotton. But anyway, we even got lost on the way to the little cabin, but hey, if you're married, don't matter. You know, we were happy and all of that. But anyway, lots and lots of memories and lots of blessings all through the years. And of course, many of you got to know Nanny. You know, I know Papa couldn't come the last several years, and Nanny was such a blessing to the church. And wow, wasn't she a great testimony just in the twilight years of her life? She just kept coming and kept coming. I remember when Papa died that Wednesday night, and Nanny came down to the altar. You remember that? And I was thinking, wow, you know, we haven't even had the funeral yet for Brother Miles, and Nanny's down here at the altar, you know, and she's just thanking the Lord for giving her strength to take care of Papa. And really, that was her desire as a wife, was to live longer than Papa, to be able to take care of him. And God let her do that, and she didn't live very long after that. And, you know, then she went to be with the Lord and to be with Papa in heaven. Isn't that a blessing? And we just thank the Lord for that. But I want to say thank you to the church today because, the work of the Lord goes on, doesn't it? You know, the workmen's pass off the scene and so forth, and the work of the Lord, you know, you train and you invest your life in the lives of others so that when we're gone, the work of the Lord just continues on, okay? And really, it all goes back, thank God, for Poppy Williams and those men in the early days who physically built the building. I mean, they really put the electrical work and all the different things. You know, much of that work was done back in the early days, and all their investment in the Lord's work has reaped great dividends, amen, not only through y'all but also through your missionaries. I mean, there's no way of measuring how many people this church will have touched until we get to the judgment seat of Christ, amen, and that will be a great blessing just to see all the souls that this church has reached, okay? And as someone says, that God doesn't measure a church by its seating capacity, He measures it by its sending capacity. And that's good. That's a good statement. Thank God for all the missionaries, and thank you for being faithful to give to your missions. I met a lady over here from Russia, or she speaks Russian anyway, and that was a blessing, amen. And we just took on a missionary to Russia, so I was really happy about that. That's a blessing, Brother Micah Reisner, and he's a missionary's kid. His mom and dad's are missionaries to Russia, and so Micah grew up in Russia, and so he just speaks Russian really fluently, so he's going back to Russia to help reach more Russians. So I'm glad God loves the Russians, amen. And I'm glad He loves Texans, amen? And I'm glad He loves me. I'm glad He loves redheads. Yeah, and bald heads. Amen. Yeah, amen. God bless you, brother. Thank you. I got a nod there. You know, glad God loves him too, amen? And that's a blessing. Well, I want to be a blessing today. We're going to move right into the message. And you normally give them 12-ish around to start giving the invitation. Okay. All right. That's about what we do back home. We've had vacation Bible school this week, we do an evening Bible school in the afternoon, you know, in the evening. We started at 6:30 and so forth. And anyway, the first night we had 144. That was good. And first night, right out of the gate. The next night we had 166. The next night we had 177. So I'm thinking, we're going to have 188. And I thought, man, we can never do this again. But on the last night we had 208. And so that was incredible. Amen. That was a great Bible school. And the first night, my wife told me, she said, I got to lead three little girls to the Lord tonight. I thought, man, this is good. The next night, I was walking down the hall, and she grabbed me and said, come in here. And she had three teenage girls in there, and they were all, like, crying a little bit and everything. And I thought, man, this is good. I didn't know what I was getting into. And she's like, they want to be sure that they're going to heaven and all of that. And, you know, she had kind of took them through the plan of salvation already. And anyway, they were just kind of ready. And I talked to them for a little bit. And then they prayed and received Christ as their Savior. It was awesome. Amen. Just good stuff. And that's a blessing. Isn't it good? So at the end of the week, I think we had 47 that had received Christ as their Savior. And we just say, to God be the glory, amen. Great things He hath done, amen. It's good stuff, and it's a blessing. And we've been in El Dorado 23 years now, and moved there from Texas and from here. And we've been faithful over there, and God's blessed us. And we've got a great church, and just we love serving the Lord, amen. And if what you have looks like it's killing you, nobody else is going to want it, amen. And I'm telling you, you know, some of y'all look pretty rough this morning. And my daughter, wave at me, Jenna. Jenna, wait. Jenna looked at me a while ago. She said, Daddy, you look tired. I'm thinking, great. Okay. I'm like, Lord, when we're weak, you know, help me be strong, you know, and all of that. We are tired. You know, you go through a week of Bible school and all of that, and I'm kind of tired, you know, and all of that. But, hey, we're going to have a good time today. And it's good to see the family here from Grace Baptist in Midlothian, and we met them years ago, and they're visiting today and kind of moving over to this area. You pray for them as they seek the Lord's will concerning a church home. Amen. And that's a blessing. So you pray for them. And anyway, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we're just going to kind of use this as a launching pad this morning and move right into the message. And I just wanted to be a blessing. Brother Bingham was praying, you know, and all, to start the service. And I really do. I just want to be a blessing and be used of the Lord in the next few moments to kind of challenge you again. And we got to, you know, we want to continue on and go forward. You know, we don't want to just get comfortable and sit on our blessed assurances and all that good stuff and, you know, sit, soak, and sour. Amen. We don't want to do that. We want to go forward. Amen. Onward and upward. Amen. For the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're looking forward to His soon return. And Brother Roloff used to say, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Bible says this, if my people, and by the way, I'm glad I'm one of His people. Amen. One of God's little people. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, and isn't it a blessing to be called a Christian? Amen. They called them Christians in Antioch because they were Christ-like. And I want to be a Christ-like Christian. I mean, I'm not ashamed to be a Christian. Amen. Are y'all listening to me? Amen. I'm a child of God, okay? I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian, okay? And I'm not ashamed of that, okay? There's a lot of other belief systems in the world, and I'm not any of those. I'm a Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Baptist preacher, amen? I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist either. Amen. It says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, humble themselves. Pastor said it a while ago. It's a lot better to humble yourself than for your earthly father to have to humble you or your heavenly father to have to humble you. I'd a lot rather deal with my own life and sins and get down to the altar as fast as I can, get my life right with God, my heart right with God, than God to have to get a hold of me and chasten me. Okay, y'all see what I'm saying? And judgment must begin at the house of God. It says, shall humble themselves and pray. And pray. Boy, we need to pray. Pray. Prayer changes things. And seek my face. Seek my face. And I think a lot of times, you know, just we gotta just kind of just set our affections on things above, and that in all things He might have the preeminence. And we do. We need to push the reset button, and we do sway off, Pastor, and we are here and there. And we need to be reminded that while looking unto Jesus, amen, the author and finisher of our faith, and we need to seek His face, amen. Seek His face. And that's why we continue to read our Bible and pray, and every morning or whenever you do your Bible reading, man, it's all about getting back focused on God for the day. Are y'all with me? And this is just a recipe that God's given us for revival here. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And here's the big one. Turn from their wicked ways. He's not talking to lost people. He's talking to my people.
Yep, amen.
Amen. We don't mean for it to happen, but it happens, doesn't it? Every dog has enough fleas to remind him he's a dog. I have enough sins to remind me that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I need to turn from my wicked ways, and you need to turn from your wicked ways. And somebody's going to say, well, you know, she really needed that. No, we really needed that. Amen. Not, you know, not her or them, or she should have been here or whatever, or that was for her. No, it's for everybody, okay? If we're God's people, we need to turn from our wicked ways, okay? And sometimes if we're not careful, we don't even realize how far away we've drifted from God. We're kind of like the bullfrog in the pan of water, you know what I'm saying? Just kind of on slow cooking, and they just sit there in that cool water, and it just kind of it cooks them. When you drop them in hot water, they jump out, you know. And I'm just saying sometimes we're kind of like that bullfrog. We just kind of sit there and we don't even realize that the devil's turning the heat up on us and we're just cooking and we're getting further away from God than we realize we are sometimes, even coming to church. Are y'all with me? That's why we need revival. Turn from the wicked ways. I've got the word if circled in my Bible right there, the very first word, if.
Yep.
And then I've got the word then circled. Then.
Yes, sir.
God is saying, hey, I will if you will. Okay, if you'll do the things that I've told you to do, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Boy, if there ever was a day when our land needed healing, it's now, isn't it?
Amen.
I guarantee you our country is sick. Our country's going to hell in a handbag. I'm telling you, America's got multiple moral issues. We got all kinds of issues. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes,
it's unbelievable the things that we're doing today that should not be done. I mean, years ago they would have never even been entertained, same-sex marriages and stuff like that. Y'all know what I'm talking about, just all those issues. All the little unborn babies. I mean, we got problems. We got problems as a nation. And all I'm saying is, God help us this morning, that we would turn from our wicked ways and then that so we could hear from heaven. Now, I want to give you some things very quickly this morning out of the book of James. And I want you to turn over there. And this is just good, just stuff. And I just want to be a blessing to you. It's going to be a two-part message, and we're going to finish it tonight. And I want you to just look at this. We're living in a day when we're in desperate need of revival. I need revival. You need revival. And 2 Chronicles is certainly one of the great revival passages in the Word of God. But I want you to look in James today. And I need revival. It's just getting harder and harder to find New Testament Baptist churches. And most churches have strayed away from the principles and practices and preaching, amen, today. And they're operating in the flesh. Would y'all listen to me? Most churches are operating in the flesh. And we can recognize a church that needs revival. I'm going to give you some things today. Look at verse number 1 now. From whence comes wars and fightings among you, okay? And he's talking to believers here. He's talking to the brethren. He says, come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Let me give you some things very quick. Number one is bickering. Bickering, okay? Bickering. And you know, again, I gave a lady a tract at Home Depot this week. I was buying some brochure paper from Home Depot, and I gave her a tract. And Pastor, there was nobody behind us. The store was early in the morning. There really wasn't very many people in there. So I just started talking to her, you know, and she said, you know, Pastor, I quit going to Emmanuel Baptist Church because of all the bickering. We have four major Southern Baptist churches in our town that are all without pastors. And they're having problems finding pastors because the church is kind of having trouble. You know, some of the people want to go contemporary and some of them want to stay traditional and all that, you know, and they're having trouble finding pastors that can kind of meet the needs of what they're looking for in a pastor. And that's a bunch of baloney.
Amen.
Hey, we're non-contemporary, amen. Hey, we're just going to stay with the old-time religion, amen. If it's good for grandma, it's good enough for me. And I know the times are changing all that, but we can still be relevant. The choir music this morning, that was a blessing. The hymns and all that, it doesn't have to be dead and dry. No, hey, we can have the Spirit-filled music and old-timey music that honors God. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. You know, but a lot of people are getting out of church because of the bickering and the infighting in the church. That's pitiful. You know, it's pitiful when somebody could come to church and we don't have assigned seats. You get here early, you get your own, you get the seat of your choice.
Yes, sir.
You know, sometimes people get, well, I've been sitting in that seat for 30 years. Well, you need to move over.
Amen.
You know, and I'm just saying people don't get out of church. You know, people don't get right with God. They just change churches. Well, some preacher didn't shake my hand.
Man, that is pitiful.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going back to that church because that, the preacher didn't shake my hand. No. Listen, all this little bickering too, the little cliques in the church, that's not right, y'all.
Amen.
It's not right. That kind of stuff. The wars and fighting. Well, who does she think she is? Why did she get to sing the special? That's a bunch of junk.
Yep. Yeah.
Are y'all listening to me? Hey, when we get to that point as a church, we need revival. Hey, listen, the main thing is the main thing. We want to keep people out of hell. We want people to go to heaven with us. If you're here this morning, hey, I'm preaching to Christians, but if you're here this morning and you're lost, we don't want you to go to hell.
Amen.
That's why we run our blue and white buses and go out and pick up boys and girls, and we bring them in every Sunday to tell them about Jesus. That's why we have vacation Bible school. That's why I went to jail Tuesday night and preached in the A-pod and in the O-pod where all these men, they put me in there with like 30 men and 30 more men and just preaching in jail. And others were preaching to the ladies and all that. Hey, I love going to jail. Why? Listen, we're trying to keep people out of hell. Others are out knocking on doors and telling people about the Lord. We want to keep the main thing the main thing. Then you don't have much problem with all this stuff, bickering and all that, when you're out knocking on doors and you're passing out tracts and you're working for Jesus. Amen. You're not into all that junk. But I'm telling you, hey, a church needs revival when there's bickering going on. Bickering. And you check the context here, and James is not writing to the lost, he's writing to Christians. Amen. Hey, we need revival, weren't we? Don't we? Yes, we do. They'd gotten away from God in those days just like we get away from God in our day, okay? They needed revival just like we need revival. Here's number two here. Look at the last part of verse number two. It says, yet ye have not because ye ask not. James 4:2, you have not, they're at the end of the verse, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Now, the second thing is an ineffective prayer life. An ineffective prayer life. And again, James says, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. Okay? When we begin to operate in the flesh and we refuse to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, our prayer life begins to deteriorate. Our prayer life begins to go down and we don't pray at all about some things because we already know it's not God's will. Other things that we don't receive answers because our motives are wrong. Listen, I'm telling you, I want to stay in tune with God so I can get my prayers answered.
Amen.
I was out doing some fundraising. We have a lot of businesses in our area that sponsor bus kids to camp, and we're going to be taking probably between 60 and 70. We're probably going to take 70 people to camp. Not this week, but the next week. We leave on the 22nd. We got a giant group going to camp this in a couple of weeks. And so I get out, and we have a bunch of businesses in our community that we've been there for 23 years, and they sponsor bus kids to camp. And a lot of them just write you out a check. And anyway, I had one guy that gave me $200 bills. I mean, they trust you when they're giving you cash money that you're going to put it where it needs to go. And I had that money in my pocket. And I should have probably put it in a bank bag or something, but I had it in my pocket and I lost it. And my heart just sank. I was about to throw up. I was just sick. I thought, man, Lord, I'm out raising money for you. And I lost this money. It's not even my money. I'm going to have to put it right and replace it with my money. And I was just kind of down, even though I was kind of out raising money for the kids to go to camp. I called my wife and said, look in my chair and see if it's in my chair. And look in there where I had my pants. She'd look and no, called me back, no. It's not there. I called my secretary. I said, could you just check? And anyway, and she went and checked. My secretary's 81 years old, almost 82. Miss Peggy called me back and she said, I found one of them. And she said, I'm going to go back and see if I can find the other one. And the wind was blowing and she found the other one. And I guess when I got out in my car or something, somehow or another, it fell out of my pocket. And she found it where my car was parked and the other one had blown. The wind had blown it off the parking lot and she found it there in the grass. And I was just like, wow, thank you, Lord. That is awesome. Lord, I was just thanking God. Say, well, that's a little thing. No, it's not. $100 bills are big where I come from.
Amen.
When you lose them and you're responsible for them, that's a big thing when God answers your prayer. Amen. Hey, I didn't take that like some little something or that was a coincidence. No, I felt like, man, that's a direct answer to prayer.
Amen.
That's why it's important that we stay in touch with God. You don't know when you're going to need God. Amen.
Amen.
You're going to need God to answer your prayers. And I don't want my prayer life to be ineffective, but hey, a lot of people's prayer lives are ineffective. We need revival. Here's another one, worldliness. Look at verse number four. The Bible says here, and James just lets a hammer down here in verse number four. He says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Pastor said it in Sunday school, you know, a lot of times, for those of us that have been around, you know, I mean, I'm not going to go out and drink a tall boy, one of them big tall beers. I'm not going to go out and get drunk or get plastered. You know, I'm not going to go out and commit adultery. But hey, a lot of times, if we're not careful, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, it's that ball tournament that if the team wins, they got to play on Sunday. Then you have to decide, okay, are we going to church or are we going to the ball tournament? We made the championship. Man, what kind of testimony is that? It's getting quiet in here. What kind of testimony is that to our children?
Mom.
You know, when we're saying, you know, really, you know, and oh, it only happens once a year. Hey, listen, we got to be careful about that because sometimes, hey, you know, it doesn't matter to the world. They've scheduled their ball games on Wednesday nights now.
Yep.
And Sunday, man, you drive around, there's a lot of stuff going on Sundays that didn't used to be going on Sundays.
Amen.
Are y'all with me? They don't give a rip about us and church and the world going to hell. The world doesn't. Why? They're the world. They're lost. And the Bible says that friendship with the world's enmity with God. And God says, you adulterers, and don't step out on God. Don't step out into the world because, again, it may be just anything that cools your fire for God.
That's right.
Man, I don't want anything. I want to be careful. I want to walk circumspectly. I want to be wise and understanding, you know, the will of the Lord. I want to let God lead me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And I don't want the Lord to come back and me over here in the world as a child of God, looking like the world and acting like the world and talking like the world and dressing like the world. I don't want that to happen to me. Well, my foot. Well, my hind leg. Y'all listen to me. Hey, I'm just saying, man, I want to be close to Jesus when He comes back.
Yes, sir.
I want to hear Him say, well done. And I'm just saying, wow, these are just some good things that we need to kind of examine ourselves and say, wow, where am I at in this equation? The Bible says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I want to have a strong faith in the Lord, okay? And the world wants to lure you away from Jesus Christ. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life will be used by the devil and the world and the flesh to entice you, just like a lure. You know, it looks so real and so good and all that. You better be careful. Better be careful messing around in the world. Here's another one. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says in verse number 5, James 4, 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? Number 4 is a lack of respect for the authority of the Word of God. Listen to me. Please listen to me. I didn't write the Bible. I didn't write God's holy Word. I didn't write it. Amen. It's inspired, infallible, inerrant. It's holy. It's God-breathed. This is God's Word. Amen. And when God says something, you and I need to listen.
Amen.
I don't know about E.F. Hutton and all that, but I'm telling you, when God speaks, you and I need to listen. And again, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? And again, when a church or a believer, we are the church, is operating in the flesh, and they begin to follow the world and get out here, you know, in a sideshow, listen, they have little respect for the authority of the Word of God. And preacher, man, he gets up and he preaches his heart out, he preaches his guts out, he loves y'all, and he's trying to keep you on the straight and narrow way, and he's spending himself preaching sermons and preaching the Word of God, and yet, you know, sit there, and we nod our heads, and we might even say, amen, you know, and then we walk out of here unchanged. Hey, I do not want to just be a hearer of the Word. I want to be a doer of the Word of God. Jesus said it like this, I must needs be about my Father's business. And the King's business requires haste. The Lord's fixing to come back. And all I'm saying at the 30-year mark of Bible Baptist Church in Renton, hey, we all need to be reminded, man, I want to get back. I mean, I want to get back. I want to push that reset button. And wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. Lord, in the midst of the years, make known. Lord, in wrath, remember mercy. Yeah, I want God to be merciful, don't you?
Amen.
Yeah, men look on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. You know if you need revival, and God knows if you need revival, and God knows we all need revival. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. We're going to talk a little bit more about that tonight. But people listen, and many times they're agreeing all that, but they're just not obeying the Word of God because they've lost respect for the authority of the Word of God. A.W. Tozer said it like this, a low concept of God is the cause to 100 lesser evils. We've kind of brought God down to man's level. Man, my dad's old school. My dad's 81 years old. He's preaching today in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. Victory Baptist Church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. He got all three services. Pastor Brian Torres is out of town, and he asked if my dad could come and preach for him. My dad's a blessing. But my dad was old school. Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. My dad taught me to respect authority. My dad was a state trooper here in Texas for 7 years. My dad is a blessing, and I thank God for him. But I'm going to tell you something. I have respect for God. I have a reverential fear for God because my dad would say, just like your dad, you know, go to the bedroom. And man, I'd bend over the bed, and I'd take my medicine like a man. Uh-huh. I got my last whooping when I was 17 years old. Wow, I was bigger than my dad. Say, what'd you do? I slapped the snot out of a girl. You're not supposed to hit girls. I knew that. But it was worth it. Amen. She needed to be slapped. She did. You know, I mean, she was just a heifer. Amen. And she needed a smart mouth, and I just slapped her. And I got expelled from our Christian school. Expelled. I'm the pastor's son. I got expelled from the Christian school, and I went home, and man, I was watching. There was a cowboy show called Fury with the black horse on there called Fury. And I was watching Fury on TV, and my dad came in, and he said, son, go to the bedroom. We talked for a little while. And then I've been over the bed. I'm bigger than my dad. Been over the bed, 17 years old. My dad wore me out, man. He toasted my buns. He did. My dad said my grandma had been in hot pants a long time before they ever hit the market. Oh, yeah. That's the heritage that we grew up with. Are y'all listening to me? But, hey, I have a reverential fear and respect for God. My dad wasn't my old man. My dad was my dad. My mom wasn't my old lady. My mom was my mom. Are y'all listening to me? Now, all I'm saying is if we're not careful, we can be disrespectful to God because we brought God down to our level. Hey, my dad taught me to respect authority. My teachers, police officers, and people like that. I have a reverential fear for God and respect for God because I respected my earthly father. Are y'all listening to me? Let me give you another one here. Number 5 is a grieved Holy Spirit. A grieved Holy Spirit. Look at verse number 5. Verse number 5, it says, the middle part of the verse there says, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Do you understand when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God came into you and your body became the temple of the Holy Ghost of God, which is in you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You understand that? Listen to this. Edmund Hebert said this. He's a commentator, wrote this about this verse. He said, this picture of the Holy Spirit's yearning for the undivided love of His people and grudgingly refusing to yield to a rival is consistent with the statement in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Everybody in here knows there's a battle going on inside of us. The flesh wants to do fleshly things and the Spirit wants to do spiritual things. Amen. The black dog, the white dog. I mean, we all know that what's going on inside of us, that battle inside of us, okay? And listen, I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I don't want the Holy Spirit of God to be disappointed in me and grieved and be pushed to the side. I don't want that to happen, man. I want the Spirit of God to have liberty. And thank God for 30 years, the Spirit of God's had liberty here at Bible Baptist Church. You know, when God writes Ichabod on the doorpost of a church and nobody gets saved, you can just go through the motions and be doing everything you're supposed to be doing. But when God lifts His hand of blessing off of it because He's been grieved because of the way we as His children are living, I'm telling you, it does matter how we live. Are y'all listening to me? There are a lot of churches that they're not really holy anymore. It's just a glorified hodgepodge, and they all like a glorified country club, and they all get together just so they can say they've been to church, and they live like the devil all week long. That is a bunch of junk.
Amen.
No wonder there's a lot of this kind of stuff going on in churches.
Yep.
We need an old-timey revival, amen? Heaven sent, I mean Holy Ghost revival. That's what we need, isn't it? Nod your head right there, amen? That's what I need.
Yes,
let me give you the last one this morning. The last one. We talked about bickering and ineffective prayer life, worldliness, the lack of respect for the authority of the Word of God, a grieved Holy Spirit. And the last one this morning is pride. Pride. And this is the root problem. The root problem is pride. Pride. Look in verse number 6. The Bible says, but He giveth more grace. And Pastor talked about that, man. Thank God that God is gracious and He's graceful. And He gives more grace. Wherefore He saith, watch this now, God resisteth the proud. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God resisteth the proud. Look at verse number 10. Humble yourselves. Why is God saying humble yourselves? Because they're full of pride. God wouldn't have said to humble yourselves if there wasn't a need to humble themselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Look now at verse number 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. What is boastings? Pride. All such rejoicing is evil. Hey, it's not about me this morning. It's not about you. It's not about Papa Miles, who we planted the tree in honor of. It's about, as Pastor said, it's about their God. But God uses people. And God gets all the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. If you see any good in me, it's not because I'm good, because all my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I'm telling you, if you see any good in me, it's the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And He's given me a new life. Amen. He's transformed me. It's a blessing. Amen. I've turned over a new leaf. I've got a new life. In Christ. And all I'm saying to you this morning is, wow, I need revival in my heart. I need to humble myself. And I need to pray, and I need to seek God's face, and I need to turn from my wicked way. Then will I hear from heaven. Amen. We'll forgive their sin and we'll heal their land. That's what God says, amen? I don't know about you, but I need personal revival. I want God, I want all y'all to get revival. I'm not actually a church revival, but I just need to stay close in myself. Yep. I'm going to close with a story, just a blessing, and I'm done for this morning, okay, very quickly. I was driving to jail the other night. We preached in jail every Tuesday night. We preach in jail. Every Tuesday night I'm in town, I'm in jail. And it's a blessing, amen. They let me in. It's a blessing to get in, and it's a blessing to get out. I guarantee you. And normally I'm with the ladies on Tuesday nights. And we have about 7 ladies from our church that go in. And we take a keyboard in. We take songbooks in. And Brother Sam's the songbook from youth camp. We use that songbook. It's got some choruses and got some old hymns in there. And we just sing just like we're at camp. You know, we just sing and have a good time. And so I was on my way to jail on April the 21st of this year, April 21st. I'm driving to jail. It's about 5:40 in the afternoon. My cell phone rings, and there's a lady on the other end of the line, and she says, Pastor Weedo, this is Betty Hucks, and Gary's in ICU, intensive care. He's in ICU, and they're wanting to incubate him. They're wanting to put the tube down his throat, and the breathing tube down his throat, and he won't let them do it until he talks to you. And so I'm saying, okay, Miss Betty, well, let me run by the jail, and then I'll be over to the hospital. So I went by the jail, and I told Brother Larry, Brother JP, I said, told him what happened, that Miss Betty had called. I hadn't seen Betty and Gary Hucks. I hadn't seen them. I'd probably witnessed to Gary maybe like 15 years ago. I mean, it was a long time ago that I had witnessed to him. And he said, he kind of took him through the plan of salvation. He just kind of shut me down, and that was it. He wouldn't get saved. 15 years later, okay, I get to the hospital, my two guys at jail, they pray with me, and I take off and go to ICU. I get to the ICU waiting room, I walk down the hallway, and Miss Betty's there, she takes me right back into ICU. I get back into ICU, Gary's grown a beard since I'd seen him last, and so I'm saying, you got those whiskers, you've grown a beard, and I said, I've grown out a little bit since I saw you last. And we both were laughing a little bit, and he had an oxygen mask on, and so he's talking through this oxygen mask, and I'm kind of leaning over the bed, Miss Betty, his wife's on the other side of the bed, and I said, he said to me, he said, Pastor, he said, I've had a good life. He's had double pneumonia. He's very, very sick with pneumonia. And then he has heart issues. He got multiple health issues. And he's very sick, very, very sick. And he's looking at me. He's talking to that oxygen mask. And he says, Pastor, I've had a good life. I'm a good man. I feel pretty good about everything. And I listened to him. And when he finished, I said, Gary, I said, that's all commendable. That's good. I'm glad you're a good man and all of that. But that's not how it works with God. That is not how it works with God. And I took him just right there, just very simply. I said, the Bible says, Gary, that as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, Gary, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all missed the mark. And I just began to take him through the plan of salvation. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners. And anyway, I got him lost, and I took him to Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I don't know why I ask him. It's a no-no in soul winning. I've never done it before that I can remember, because you're just not supposed to do it. But I said, Gary, do you have any questions? And normally that's a no-no, because they'll get you to chase a rabbit and it'll undo what you just did. But I just said, Gary, do you have any questions? And he looked at me through that oxygen mask and he said, I just need to be saved.
Amen.
I just need to be saved. And I said, well, Gary, let me have a word of prayer. And I started praying. And I said, Gary, if you can mean this, I want you to pray this after me. And I said, Dear Jesus. And he said, Dear Jesus. And I said, I know I'm a sinner. And when I said, I know I'm a sinner, he just lost. He just started sobbing and weeping. So he said, I know I'm a sinner. And he just started crying. Then I said, I have done wrong. And he said, I have done wrong. And I mean, just took him right through the plan of salvation, through the sinner's prayer. And he prayed to receive Jesus Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
Oxygen mask and all. He said, Preacher, when I get out of here, he said, I'm coming to church. And I said, Gary, I'll tell you, if you come to church, we're going to tell everybody that you've been saved. It's going to be awesome. We're going to give God a lot of glory. A lot of people have prayed for you for a long time. And I said that, and I slipped out of the room. The doctor was standing in the hallway. They came right in. They took him right out and took him to put the vent down his throat. Stayed in El Dorado, our little town, for just a couple more days. And then they care flighted him to, or took him by ambulance, rather, to Little Rock, Arkansas, to St. Vincent's Infirmity. They have a lot of big doctors there. They had an infection specialist that began to take cultures out of his lungs and all that stuff, and they never found the strand. All the antibiotics that they tried to give him, he never responded to any of them, and he began to digress, and he began to go down. And I went and saw him twice up there, but he never knew I was there again. And Gary wound up going home to be with the Lord. And I'm just telling his story because even though he's in heaven today, God's still getting glory from his story.
Amen.
He doesn't have to be alive for God to get glory. He doesn't have to come to my church for God to get glory. God's probably getting more glory because I'm telling everybody everywhere I go about that story. Are y'all listening to me? I'm saying here this morning, if you're lost, man, you need to get saved today. Today. Let's bow our heads. Thank you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And if you're here this morning, say, Pastor Weedo, I'm so thankful I'm saved today. Would you slip your hand up? You know the Lord is your Savior. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Just slip your hand up. Okay, thank you. God bless you. God bless you. If you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ, you can put your hands down. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, listen, today is the day of salvation. God had one Son, and Jesus Christ died for you. He loved you, and He died for you on an old rugged cross so you could be saved. And if you'll come today, is there somebody here say, Pastor Weedo, I'm lost. I've never been saved the Bible way. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? You'd slip your hand and say, Pastor, I'm lost. I've never been saved the Bible way. Would you pray for me? Anyone, anywhere? All right, thank you. I wonder how many of you Christians today say, Pastor Weedo, I need revival in my own heart. I do. I need revival. The things you've talked about this morning, God's talking to me because I need to make some adjustments in my life, and I want you to pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Christians all over the building, I need revival, preacher. I need it in my own heart. I can be closer to God than I am, and I want you to pray for me, okay? I'm going to pray for you. Father, we love you today. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, I pray we get all the bickering, Lord, and Lord, ineffective prayer life, Lord, and all these things that we've talked about today, Lord, in the message. I pray, dear God in heaven, Lord, we get the pride out of our life, Lord, and Lord, that we quit going through the motions, Lord, even here at church and not being doers of the Word, but Lord, just kind of letting it go in one ear and out the other. God, help us today, I pray you'd revive us again. Now, bless him. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Many of you raised your hand. We'll let the piano play softly. If you need to come, you step out and come right now. Don't wait on anybody else. It's Sunday morning, but that don't matter. Just hang that. Just come on down here right now. If God's talking to your heart, hey, revival must begin. Judgment must begin at the house of God. If you want revival, you can have revival in your own heart. God bless you. Don't wait on anybody else. You step out and come. And if you're lost today, you come. Pastor's here. Be happy to take the Word of God and show you how to be saved. Young people, hey, I say to you, it takes guts to live for Jesus as a young person. Not everybody's going the right way. We know that. We understand that. Peer pressure is real. Peer pressure is strong. But hey, Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile. Daniel was a young man. He made his mind up. He purposed in his heart he would not defile himself. Hey, you don't have to do what everybody else is doing. You can stand for Jesus. You can live for God. God loves you this morning. God loves you this morning. I'm telling you, He loves you this morning. He died on an old rugged cross and shed His precious blood so that you and I could be saved today by the good grace of God. And those of us that are saved, shame on us for getting out in the world and allowing the world to mess us up and mess our minds up and thinking more about the world than we are about God. My grandson Dylan that's standing here today, the one that sang for you a while ago, I was preaching not long ago and Dylan came down to the altar in a service just like this. He's 14 years old. And after the service was over, he was riding back to the prophet's chamber. And I said, Dylan, what'd you go to the altar for tonight? He said, Papa, I went to the altar because sometimes I'm more full of me than I am of the Lord. Sometimes I'm more full of me than I am of the Lord. I'm more full of myself than I am the Lord. And hey, I wonder where we're at this morning in that equation. Hey, I want to empty myself of me, amen, and let the Spirit of God fill me. And there are times in my life when I'm just like my grandson, amen, the nut don't fall far from the tree. Sometimes I'm more full of myself than I am of the Lord. And I want to be Spirit-filled. I want to walk in the Spirit so I'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh, amen. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I want to be full of God. I don't know how many sermons I got left in me. My daughter says I'm tired. I don't know how many sermons I got left in me, but hey, we're going to just keep preaching until Jesus comes back, or we just preach until we can't preach no more. I want to be faithful to God, amen, faithful to God. He's been faithful to me, amen. He's never left me and never forsaken me. When my mama died, God was there for me to comfort me and love me. My wife's had all kinds of issues. She doesn't feel well today. My wife played the piano a while ago. She's had all kinds of health issues. And I love her. She just keeps on going. And grandbabies have been a real good diversion, get her mind off of all her problems and sicknesses and stuff. But hey, she's been faithful. She's been faithful through thick and thin. We stuck together and stuck with the Lord, and His grace has been sufficient. Amen. He's a good God. By the way, a good sign that you're saved is that when you get out there and start messing around and you realize, hey, I'm hurting God, it hurts me when I hurt Him. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. When I'm not right with my wife, it messes with me. It bothers me because I know I'm not right this way if I'm not right this way. Amen. Come on, Pastor. God bless y'all. We're going to finish the message tonight, okay? I'll give you the second half tonight. Yeah. Amen.
Like faith, and just I really do appreciate them coming. And listen, we've been asking for God to add people to the church as He sees fit. And He saw fit to bring the Cheathams our way and to join. I look forward to serving with you folks and getting to know you better. And it's going to be good. And y'all come by and just shake their hands. Let them know you appreciate them. Give them a right hand of fellowship. And tell them you appreciate them coming. And tell them you like them. Even though you don't like them, tell them you like them. And no, I really do appreciate it. Hey, God's going to grow this place. And if we just serve Him, we don't worry about try to adding people. That's His job, not mine. All we worry about is winning them, and wedding them, and work them, and then wean them. Yeah, win them, wed them, wean them, work them. Hey, listen, we just obey God, and He'll take care of the rest. God sure is good. I love you folks, and I thank y'all. Please come back tonight, 5:30. We're going to have dinner on the grounds, and we'll have a little prayer dedicating the tree right there before we eat. And listen, I'm excited that we've been here for 30 years, but I'm going to tell you what I'm more excited about. I'm more excited about the next 30 years. Lord Terry's is coming. How many folks are going to get led to the Lord? How many folks are going to just join the church and lives will be changed and marriages will be brought back together and just folks' lives will be going this direction and turn back going to God? I'm excited about what God is going to do. And brother, thank you for preaching that. Y'all, please come back tonight. Let me tell you this. You need it. So come back tonight, 5:30. Let's now we're going to have, when we get through praying and shaking hands, about 10 minutes or so, 5 minutes or so, I'd like y'all to come out to the front of the church. We're going to make it in front of the church right here. And if y'all would all just file out that way and just come, please, I'd like for you to be in the picture for Bible Baptist Church to commemorate our 30th anniversary. And so if you do that, I would greatly appreciate that. Oh, let's see here. Brother Rod Rodriguez, would you pray and dismiss us in a word of prayer? Y'all take time to be friendly and shake the hands of our newest members, the Cheatham's, and then we'll go outside and we'll have a big picture taken. Brother Rod.